For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Mia Hansen Aloha, Christy Dougherty, Just Sayin', Kelly Barlow, and Cindy Gerson. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye olde browse. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Watch What Crappens podcast, you're currently listening to, and also the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast, which came out today with a new episode, so go listen to it. And here I am with the gorgeous, talented, thin, and tightly poured Ben Mandelker of the B-Side blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Benji.
Oh, hello. I don't know how thin I am these days. I haven't gone to the gym basically in 3 weeks. It's been bad. But guess what? I just pickled an onion, so I'm on the up and up.
Well, one way we will always stay friends is that I will always be older and fatter than you, Ben.
Okay.
Isn't that sweet? Hugs.
I'm working on one of those things.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening to this show. We sure love doing it. Get over there and listen to our bonuses. We're doing a two-parter on the Big Brother cast, and those are a blast. We love making fun of those idiots. I mean, man, Big Brother has some dum-dums. So if you want those, go listen to that bonus episode over on Patreon.
Yeah, it's up right now. You should go listen to it because we had a really super fun time doing a big deep dive on the first half of the cast. And we really base it off nothing but photos and bios, but we really feel like we drew some really important conclusions
You don't really need a lot to judge a book by its cover. You just need the book cover. That's the whole point.
Yeah. It's, you know, the thing is this, it's not like we're judging Dostoevsky by its cover. We're sort of just, you know, we're kind of like judging that Caterpillar book by its cover.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, it's like the Little Prince book by its cover. Yeah, the actually, that's probably too deep for this cast.
Yeah, it's, but the Little Prince actually has something going on in it.
Yeah, it's even weird saying books about Big Brother because I think only one person answered about the thing they'd bring in the house. I think only one person said it was a book, and it was a girl who said Harry Potter. So, I mean, there you go.
there.
Also, we have a fun few weeks coming up. We're going to be interviewing a bunch of people. We've got some guests coming on. Katie Cazorla should be joining us next week from Second Wives Club.
She's joining us this week.
Oh, this week. Some of the invite-only Cabo people are coming by. Some of the Below Deck Mediterranean people coming by. So. Keep an eye out. We've got some fun guest hosts as Ben takes a foray into the unknown, otherwise known as vacation. So a lot of fun stuff, so just keep your eyes open. And I guess today we'll just get right into our show, shall we, Ben?
Yeah, let's do it. The penultimate episode of Southern Charm Season 4, right? Season 4.
Yeah, well, if I start talking about The Bachelorette, it's because I got my notes mixed up again. I was in The Bachelorette, and I was like, Ashley, drunk, couch, barfs. I was like, this is not the same show.
You know, it's hard to, you know, the name Ashley is so generic when it comes to reality TV, and the idea of someone barfing on a couch is so commonplace that it could probably apply to almost every show we talk about.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So who's barfed on the couch today? Okay, I don't want Southern Charm Savannah. I want regular Southern Charm. Okay, regular Southern Charm.
Classic Southern Charm. This was a supersized episode. It was an hour and 15 minutes. So we knew it had extra drama. Yeah.
That whole 15 minutes was just the awful side of Landon's Coke binge or whatever she was doing. What was wrong with her?
She was drunk at the very least. I
At
don't
the
know. I don't
very
know about the
least.
rest. I know that you were one to like. I know your favorite thing is like, oh, the postman came and he didn't give me all my mail. Oh, he was high on coke. I could tell.
Or meth or heroin.
But
I'm
in
always
this
trying to
case,
figure out, or Adderall, I don't know.
I mean, you're pretty quick with the coke
With the judging.
conspiracy theories.
Yes.
And I don't always push back because I don't always think you're wrong. But in this case, you really have some good material to work with. I think
That's what
some
I'm
really
saying,
strong material for you today.
Because we know drunk, right? I mean, I'm not a cokehead, but I've done it before. I've taken Adderall before. I feel like once you've done something, you can see it.
Yeah.
And especially now in these days when everything's being passed around, even if it's not coke or meth or something disgusting like that, people think they're less trashy because they're taking stuff that's prescribed to them. We're a nation of drug addicts, okay? We're all on something. So the way I look at it is, what is it? It's just the mis it's not even judgment. I just want to know what it is so I know what I'm dealing with.
Maybe you're just projecting. Maybe you're just hoping they've done it so you
Maybe
can
you're
feel like
right.
you're part of it, you know?
Maybe I'm like, maybe Landon's on coke, and then I could try and be nice to her, and maybe she'll share because I ain't buying that shit. That is some expensive drugs. I
Those
will,
always crack.
yeah, I will snort some Windex before I do that. By the way, don't do that. I don't know if that
No,
works.
I'm a goody two shoes. I don't actually know or understand the appeal of snorting anything up my nose. Because again, I have not done cocaine, so I therefore don't know the pleasures that it perhaps could bestow the user. But for me, it's like I don't want to snort anything up my nose in general in life. I think I want things to go out of my nose, not in. It's a one-way street.
Well, cocaine is an extremely stupid drug, okay? You feel very awake, but also dead inside. I don't even understand. Like, I
That's
don't
how I
even
feel during this
understand.
podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, sorry, Vin.
No, it's not your fault. It's just Bravo. It's just what Bravo does.
I'm killing your insides.
It no, you're not killing. It's Andy Cohen. Andy Cohen is killing my insides.
I say the good old-fashioned way is the way to go. Hippie, marijuana, and then just like Mama did, wine, girl. Franzi and MJ, that's the perfect couple. Okay, anybody who's looking for a new addiction? So, Southern Charm. Bop, bop, bop,
There's a song called that. Southern Charm. Southern Charm. Southern Charm. So, the episode opens up with basically Michael washing the Bentley and what's her face? Patricia inside, perhaps gearing up for her big auction later on. And we see it's just like general, like, happiness happening in Charleston, and we see Kinsey. She's shaking some gay pride maracas, aka rainbow maracas. Hey, y'all, gay pride month.
Of
The girls getting
course, Thomas
involved.
refused to update them with the new colors. Typical.
He probably does not appreciate those extra colors. I will
The new
guarantee.
gay flag. He's like, we will only celebrate gay pride the old-fashioned way, the way we celebrated it during the Confederate Army days.
Yeah. We're gonna celebrate it with just a rainbow flag, and by rainbow, I mean different shades of white and beige. It's the only colors I see. What?
The
I'm
only
just talking
reason
about
there's any
colors.
beige in there at all is because tanning beds have come into fashion.
He's been on like on a conservative tear on social media, by the way. I mean, we always knew he was conservative and Republican, but he's really sort of started to toe the Trump line, and he's doing the hashtag fake news and like, why is everyone asking Trump about Russia? As far as I can tell, no one asked him about French or Italian or any other dressings.
He has got a lot going on social media, this guy. Did you
Yeah.
read the thing that was posted in the Facebook group? I've got to pull it up on my
Which
phone.
one? Which one? There were like five of them.
Oh, the one
But
where he told off the
I think I know which
lady. He called
one.
some lady ugly. Oh my God, I have to pull it
It's
up right
actually kind of
now.
funny.
I screenshotted it.
It was funny in a horrific way.
Well, he's not the only one. Shep's getting in a bunch of trouble too, because he's going off online too. On his stuff, he's like, let me tell you about taxes, Garsh.
But I don't
Taxes is.
mind if I mean if he wants to go off on taxes, Garsh, I mean that's fine if you're like a fiscal conservative, but like when you I tend to like the hairs start to stand up in the back of my neck when you start like defending some of the other, in my opinion, egregious behavior that's perhaps happening in the high levels of our country.
Let me see here. Jill Zarin. Oh, shut up, Jill Zarin. Yolanda Foster. You know, I really screenshot some ridiculous things. Captain Sandy texting. Love you, Cap. Okay, look. Guys, I can't find it. But basically, this woman posted on one of his pictures on Instagram. Oh, I love your show, and I'm not usually the type to say something like this, but I've noticed it two times. It seems like Kinsey isn't strapped into her seat properly, and I just wanted you to know, you know, it's difficult, but here's how you properly strap her in. And he's like, if I want your stupid opinion, I'll punch it out of your ugly face, you ugly. It's like something.
It's something really not.
It's something so crazy. That I don't even know. And then people on the group were commenting, and they're like, LOL. You know, a lot of people were like, LOL. And someone's like, how dare you speak to a mother like that? And then it becomes this whole fight, which is, you know, why I never comment on the internet. Because, girl, you know, I'll be there for 2 hours fighting over stupid shit.
Oh, my goodness. Good old C-Rev. Never change.
So guess who's in the neighborhood? Gosh, Chelsea, hi, gosh, I was just in the neighborhood. She's like, what? I'm just eating some peanut butter with a spoon.
He's like, it's not crunchy? Gosh, what sort of peanut butter is that?
He's like, well, I was just in the neighborhood, and Cameron made me realize that, you know, rape culture and patriarchy bad, so I thought I'd come over.
Because nice pretty girl, good. Patriarchy bad.
Oh, good. So she's like,
tax is bad.
Are those golf clubs? He's like, yeah, gosh. Why did he bring golf clubs to her house? I forgot.
Well, he was like, gosh, good news, gosh, bad news. Because I think he like
gosh news.
You gotta take the gosh with the gosh. Am I right, gosh? I think he stopped by FedEx on the way to her place.
It's like, I'm really sorry.
It's a good move. It's a good way to like establish that this is a platonic visit, to arrive with a giant cardboard box that's not for the lady.
Yeah. And Chelsea pretending she eats peanut butter with a spoon, which is a lie. Too thin. So he's like, well, I just wanted to say, you know, something got into me, Garsh. I got Garsh, you know, from too much Garsh. And she's like, drunk? He's like, Garsh, yeah. I was like a fish who saw a shiny Garsh. Lurk.
He goes, Garsh, I was like a fish that saw a bright, shiny lure and I ate it. I'm like, Shep, when you're trying to apologize for sexual assault, don't use terms like fish and eating it and things like that.
Her face. Her face is your words. Her face is your words. She's like, ugh. She's like, I'm eating peanut butter with a spoon, and you're the gross one in this situation. So he's like, I just don't want you to think I'm that type of girl. And she says,
You think that you're that kind of girl, Garsh.
She's like, well, it does matter think you're that kind of thinking about me thinking I'm kind of that Garsh and girl, Garsh. He's like, you're using Garsh wrong. Garsh. He's like, I see you showing pictures on your phone to the other guys and being like, look at that lure. I don't want to feel like I'm being put on the end of a hook and thrown into a like I ever died say a ship. And he's like, oh, I don't see you like that.
I just want a guy who's going to take me onto a pontoon and play that song, Pontoon. And make me feel like a special one with my beer koozie. That's what I want, Shepherd.
I want a guy who understands the positive aspects of chicken backs tied to a stick in the middle of a pond.
I just want a guy who's going to run an obstacle course for me and then do an endurance challenge. And they won't get mad when I boat him off the island afterwards, Shepherd.
So he's like, well, I don't think you mean like that, Gorsh. So then he turns into the whole, well, you know, when we had our moment, when we had our brief second, I didn't go for it because I just like you too much. And I withdraw when I like someone, Garsh. And she's like, well, that's not good. If I had known you'd really liked me, we could
What? I wouldn't have. She's like, if I had known, I wouldn't have hooked up with Fozzie Bear over there.
I've already
done.
You
can't even play the piano like Ralph.
I've already done Austin's roots. I'm committed at this point.
I've already given a lot of advice on what he should be doing with his hair. And, you know, once you start that barber-client relationship, it's pretty confidential and serious.
I mean, they don't call it the woman who doesn't like me, Sam's. It's called Fantastic Sam's.
They don't call it average gonna leave you pretty quickly cuts. They call it super cuts.
Fantastic Garces. So I like that he's trying to like open up and use his, my walls are down, because he's practicing for his own version of relationship, his own bachelor show.
I actually thought it was a good apology. Believe it or not, I actually thought it was a good apology.
It was a good, well, Shep is very good at apologizing.
Well, I mean, think that he actually is introspective. I think that like if someone like Cameron says, idiot, what's wrong with you? I think Shep's really smart. And I think he's smart both in terms of like book smart, but I think he's smart in terms of like the capacity to synthesize thoughts and think about things and be like, oh, garsh. Like when he says garsh, there's a lot of meaning to that garsh.
Yeah. There's a reason there's an R in it. You know, it's not a mistake.
It's not a gosh. It's a garsh.
Garsh means he's like really thinking.
Yeah, it's like slow-mo because so much is like little things are happening.
Wow, you've really matured in that garsh, in the time span of that garsh.
There's literally an arc to the garsh. You can't say arc without arc.
Well, I like that he's opening up to her and he says, well, I think I have a problem with intimacy. And she goes, well, you're old. So
you're real old. I know how much longer I can go hunting with you. Chewing dip with you.
She just has no pity. So he agrees to go talk to Austin and make it better. And she at the end, she says, do I look depressed? Tear my page eyes, my paint better. And he's like, yeah, you look like a cat lady, gosh. So next over, for whatever reason, this is the music at Cameron's house. Dun. Dun, 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 dun,
that was me trying to do the sing, sing, sing.
It was an odd tune to choose.
There were some strange musical cues on this episode in general, but
there were. Because this show is so good with musical cues in general, I think they've done so many new ones that they're like, let's do a new one. Okay, now this is a horn underwater being chased by a shark. What?
It's inspired by Yellow Submarine. So Catherine goes and visits Cam, and she's like, hello. And, you know, it's like, isn't this crazy? Catherine's never come over. Like, could you imagine a year ago I wouldn't even touch her with a 10-foot pole, and now she's sitting here on my couch giving me fake advice about mothering, and I'm just barely tolerating it for TV. Could you believe it?
1 year ago, I was helping Thomas plan surprise drug tests so she can get her children taken away, and here we are having fun in my living room.
Yeah.
Things change, don't they?
So there's just some of this generic mommy stuff about, like, you know, you're never ready to have a baby, but when it comes out, you're going to cry, and, like, that came out of me. It's like, yes, we've heard this a million times. Like,
yeah, you're scared at first because then you get fat. But then your baby comes out and it's got some coke residue on its head and you can do lines off of it and you realize it gets you.
Your baby will always love you no matter how much you contour your face up to your eyeballs. I'm realizing that my Catherine has just turned into soft Shep, because Shep is like this and Catherine's like this.
Catherine's like this.
Well, Catherine's confusing because the new pretend happy Catherine, it's like, who are you? So she comes in, she's wearing like a lace turtleneck dress. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen her in.
It's like a very Mary Riley dress.
Yeah, she's like, look, I'm innocent. And Cameron says, is that winter white? She's like,
it's lace.
Okay. So they're talking about the birthday party in Key West and et cetera. And Cameron's just kind of eating her thumbnail, looking at Catherine like, is this bitch for real? As she talks about, you know, having pretty babies and stuff. And Cameron's like, well, Jason wasn't a pretty baby. He looked like an albino possum. That wasn't nice of me, was it? Not nice of me.
Now, where do you stand with Landon?
Yes.
So basically, You know, Cameron tells Catherine, and just so you know, Landon sort of thinks that you owe her an apology, and Catherine obviously thinks that she deserves an apology. And this is when we get some backstory about, like, where did this whole thing start anyway? And we found out from Catherine that that Catherine and Thomas, they were supposed to go to a plantation, to a friend's plantation, which every time they say that, I'm like, I always feel weird.
Me too.
I'm like looking around. I'm like, should I be watching this? Am I just inherently racist for watching this?
Well, especially especially because it was the Delta plantation. It's like, yeah. Oh my God. You know, no one gives slaves credit for building the first plane, you know? It's like there's so many things not being credited. Like, yeah, I get you. I feel guilty, too, when they say shit like that.
I mean, I know plantations are, you know, not inherently racist necessarily, but gosh, on a show like this that's so, like, glaringly white, whiter than Catherine's winter white lace turtleneck dress, every time they say plantation, I just feel like I should change the channel.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they were supposed to go to the plantation, and they broke up, and it was just before Valentine's Day, and Catherine and Thomas had planned this whole trip, and because they broke up, Thomas invited Landon to go to this plantation for a three-day weekend, and that's what really pissed off Catherine.
Okay, well, a couple things. One, the minute Cameron said Landon, Catherine's eyes went like this. Blink, 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 blink. Because she's starting to go into Catherine rage mode. She's like, calm down, Lace. Calm down, Lace. So she calmed down, got through the story. Now, here's the story. Here's the other things. Cameron goes, so wait a minute. I didn't know that. What month was that? Was Saint born? And she goes,
no, it was right before he was conceived.
Okay, so this was so offensive to you that he did this, and he went off with Landon on Valentine's Day, that you fucked him so hard you had a baby a week later.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Exactly. Yeah, there's definitely a double standard going on there.
Yes, sure. And I get that it's different, you know, it's two different relationships or whatever, and the girl code thing, I get that too. But it's still hard to completely be
on
her side.
How about human code? How about human code?
Yeah.
How about that?
How about stop having babies with fucking idiots?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. The guy who actually went to jail for coke. And on top of that, Catherine in her confessional says, you know, she's like, you know, Landon will do anything to tie down a man. She's that sort of girl. And people like that are dangerous. I'm like, Catherine, listen, I mean, you know, you are the one who even confessed to, like, hooking up with Whitney just so you could move on to Thomas, make Thomas jealous. You know, you are the one who, like, it's not that, like, it takes two to tango to get pregnant. But, like, there was a lot of people felt that Catherine had the babies to tie down Thomas. So, and she got so mad. One of the things that she got so mad about last season, and maybe even the season before, was that people were going around saying, like, oh, well, she was just having these babies to tie him down. She just wants money. And she got so mad. And then here she is kind of saying the same thing about Landon.
Yeah, but don't you remember last season when she was getting so mad at Thomas and she told the nanny, she's like, these are my kids. And if he wants to see these kids, he's going to do what I say. And I was like, oh, good. Yeah. Way to fight, you know. So she's using them too. And people were so disgusted with her, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's just no winning here, but it cracks me up because what she's saying is what she did, and what Patricia is mad at Catherine about is kind of what Patricia did. So it's like all these branches off the same hoe tree, and all the branches are trying to hit each other. You know, it's like, you're all the same. Landon's doing the same thing. She's like,
well, I could be with Thomas if I could, you know, I would be with Thomas if I am, but it's just being taken care of.
Well, I think that Patricia's issue is that, like, Catherine is a disaster. You know, Patricia on her way up, I don't know the backstory of how Patricia really got to where she got to, but I guarantee she wasn't a sloppy mess. She probably takes pride in that, like, she was presentable and she was a good Southern girl, knew how to carry herself in conversation and could be received for walks, etc. And, you know, she was a lady, and therefore she met her, you know, Mr. Darcy's, you know. But Catherine is just like a messy slob, like on coke, having babies out of wedlock, making scenes at charity functions. I think that's where she's like, thinks that Catherine is a disaster. Not that, like, oh, well, she's with Thomas Ravenel. She just thinks that...
Well, it was also fresh. It was also her son's one chance to have a beard with the family name. Don't forget that. That the beard shaved itself and ran away and became Thomas's instead.
And screamed after Thomas.
Thomas!
So, either way, Cameron has declared that her opinion of Landon is different now. She's like, wow, that changes a lot. She's just waiting for a chance to, like, jump off the Landon train. That's all.
Because Shep did. So Shep jumped off of it. Whitney's got to be sick of her. I mean, we've heard from people in production that Landon's, like, by far the worst ever out of all of them. And we're starting to see that side of her. So I'm loving this season. So now that Cameron has permission from her her rich friends, she's like, okay, I'll get rid of that bitch.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, Ronnie. I have to interrupt because I'm looking at a very attractive man at the moment. I am actually on my texture app, and I'm looking at Men's Health, and there is a very, very attractive man on the cover. And it also says Lose Your Gut. And I'm very excited to have this texture app, and I'll tell you why. Not just because they're our sponsor, but because I need to lose my gut, and therefore I am going to read this Men's Health thing and learn things for myself.
I actually really love that app. I was in Target the other day, and I was standing in a long-ass line at the Hollywood Target, which is hell. Yeah. You've done it.
Yes.
And I was reading the magazine covers, and people had Bethany Frankel on there, and it was like, stalked by my ex. And I really wanted to pick it up and started reading it, but I felt like there was a really hot guy behind me that was possibly straight. I mean, that's a weird Target for him to be in, but... Mm-hmm. It was awkward, and so I read it on my phone instead. I whipped out my texture, girl.
Yeah, I see it right here. It's Bethany stalked by my ex next to Ivanka and Jared under pressure.
Yes, and also those magazines are expensive. With texture, texture's like Netflix, but for magazines. So you pay one price, and you get all the magazines, and they're not some crappy website that keeps loading ads and stuff like that. You get the actual magazine to flip through on your mobile device.
And also, honestly, I have, like, too much clutter in my apartment, so I've become someone who likes to have my stuff on tablets and phones instead of having the physical things, you know? So it's really great like that for reducing clutter. I can just have all these magazines in one place. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, you guys. And paper smells. Like, it smells funny. Once you've been reading the magazines worst. On an app for a while, you're like, paper's gross.
Like, so gross. Like, who does that? Who chops down trees and then... mushes them together and then dries them out and then puts things on it and then puts them all together and makes a magazine and sells that? Like, gross. Owls lived in that.
Yeah, like, trees make the paper to make magazines, but children in China make the iPad. So who would you rather support? Trees or children? Children. Yeah. I thought so.
So texture is normally $9.99 a month, and you get over 200 magazines, like Men's Fitness and People and Us and The Atlantic and Time and all that fun stuff. But if you sign up right now at texture.com/crappens, you get a 14-day free trial, darling.
14 days to try texture for free when you go to texture.com/crappens.
Yes, darling. I mean, why subscribe to just a couple of magazines when you can have all your favorites on your smartphone or tablet all the time, but for way less?
Yes, girl. If you buy in 2 magazines a month, that pays for your texture right there. Yeah. And you get 200. Yeah. So think about that. Do the math, darling.
Yeah. So start your free trial right now and download the Texture app. Go to right now, Texture is offering our listeners a 14-day free trial. I think you just said this, Ronnie, but I'll reiterate.
We both did, darling.
We can't stop reiterating, darling. We're out of control. Wiggy, wiggy, wiggy,
yes,
chad.
It's texture.com/crappens.
That's 14 days to try Texture for free when you go to texture.com/crappens. Texture.com/crappens. Yeah, elsewhere in Charleston, Naomi comes home, and Craig has been in the living room sewing a little onesie for Cameron's future baby while Gizmo watches on dutifully. And so Naomi comes back, and Craig's like, well, since therapy, Naomi and I are literally tiptoeing around like eggshells. I'm like, oh, yeah, don't wake up the eggshells. Better tiptoe around them. I mean, he did correct himself, but I just thought it was hilarious.
She's like, hi, Craig. So you don't want to go on this trip to Key West or what? He's like, well, I wanted you to come when we were, but, you know, when we're not here, because we don't fight when we're not here. But then when we're here, like, you always have to fight with me. She goes, yeah, because I do things all day and I'm really tired. He goes, see, you're not nice. You implied I don't do anything all day. Have you seen this onesie?
This onesie doesn't just sew itself. I mean, admittedly, I did put it on auto function, but you know what I'm saying.
It's the gizmo dinosaur and a turtle, so.
Craig, did you just make a onesie out of my new pillowcase?
Maybe. Craig, listen, what? I have to be me.
It's a dress. I gotta be me. You treat me like I'm the most loser piece of shit. I'm like, well, your sentence structure could use some work. You know, I'm kind of with her half the time, even though I love Craig.
I do feel bad because he's revealing himself to be a sensitive soul, and she's also revealing herself to be a no-nonsense woman. And I actually, like, I can see how she could be perceived as being a total overbearing bitch, but I actually just think that she is like, I have my standards of how I'm living my life, and if you want to be with me, these are my standards. I mean, she's definitely browbeating him, but every time she does it, I kind of just laugh. I think she's like, she just browbeats really well, you know?
I do too, because I have a feeling Craig knows she's coming home soon, yeah. And he, like, puts the Pornhub iPad under the mattress and runs to the sewing machine to look like he's doing something. Not understanding that to her, that's not doing anything, you know?
He's like, what? I'm doing something. No, she goes,
well, she's like, so this phase that you're going through right now? And he goes, what phase? And, like, the camera shows, like, the sewing machine and, like, a beer koozie. And even Gizmo was like, seriously, bro. Bruh.
She goes, well, you know, like, this phase, it makes me feel like maybe my expectations are just too high for you. And he goes, you haven't accepted me. Like, do I have to live the rest of my life questioning if I'm worthy? She goes, I don't know. Are you going to be sewing my pillowcases together the rest of your life? I don't know. It's up to you.
She's like, well, you can either question whether you're worthy, or you can question whether or not you're going to spend the rest of the life questioning if you're worthy. What do you want to do?
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, what I like though is that she's like, you know, just to elaborate on what you were saying, because I feel like you sort of missed some of the full extent of her passive aggression when she goes, maybe my expectations are too high of people, and I think people should just be doing things all day long, you know? Of course, I botched it.
And he totally goes, well, do I have to live my life on thin ice? And she goes, well, not forever, but this weekend. I mean, if you're not trying and you're, like, disrespecting me, I mean, and he's like, oh, really? Well, if you disrespect me, I'll leave and we will not be together.
Yeah. Like, geez. She's like, great. Great.
It's a fun trip. Sounds fun. So neither one of them are budging. You know, but I still think they're so cute and I hope they're still together.
They'll get through it.
A relationship is having, I'm like Craig in a way that I wanted to be doing 20 different things. I don't do any of them particularly well, but I feel like I'm doing something, and I need someone like Naomi to be like, no, Ronnie, you don't need to learn to sew. I mean, I've literally done that. Like, when Project Runway's on, I'm sewing pillows, curtains, they're all crooked, nothing looks right. I need someone to be like, no, you need to be doing something else.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, he's like, you know, this is the guy that you, like, on a relationship with. This is who I am. And it's like, well, no, actually, she got into a relationship with a guy who said he had finished law school and was taking the bar. You know, like, that's who she got into a relationship with. And now you're revealing this side of you. And yes, it's a side of you, but that's not really the side that she got into the relationship with, you know? So maybe.
Well, but now it is, because now he does have his law degree and passed the bar. Oh, well, he didn't pass the bar yet, I guess.
No, well, at that point he hadn't. But yes, he has done that stuff. But he's now like, he's the guy who passed the bar who is sewing Gizmo onto pillowcases all day long in the middle of the living room. Still not explained why his workspace is right in the middle of the living room. That makes no sense.
Well, he hasn't learned spatial planning yet. That'll be his next phase, you know?
I'm working on it.
He'll go through a Property Brothers phase where he's like, look, I made a 3D image of what this living room could be. She'll be like, so now over at Whitney and Patricia's.
Yes. Michael summons Whitney over to the yellow room where Mother is waiting for him. And hello, Mother. And, you know, there's some chatter about how he has reading glasses now. And then Michael comes in with the cocktails. Madame, a beverage and a box cutter. Oh, thank you, Michael. Thank you. So
Trisha with a box cutter. I mean, it's fitting because she is kind of the main terrorist of this show. She is the Osama of this show for sure. She's like, now Whitney, strap this on. Stand in the middle of a dinner party.
This was actually recovered from an ISIS training ground in the Middle East, along with some antiquities I just thought looked adorable. So I'm going to put it in the middle of my table. This is a box cutter.
Have you noticed that Whitney will not look Michael in the eye? He'll barely even look at him at all. Michael comes in. He's like, here's some champagne. So he's like, thank you, Michael. And doesn't look at him. It's just weird.
Well, he probably resents being the second favorite son behind Michael.
No kidding.
Yeah,
he's like always had to deal with some other man in his mother's life, and now it's just a fucking butler. But still, he's like, get out of my way, Michael.
So they have some chatter.
Tell me about you.
Whitney's like, yeah, we're going to Key West. It's a shithole, but okay, I guess we'll go because that's the only budget Bravo will give us for the show.
Well, that sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. Can't see any upside to this. Anyway, we're celebrating. This is a collection you'll inherit.
Then it shows a clip of this was Patricia my bidding on the phone.
It's like 29,000 bid, 29,500 bid. 33,000 bad.
$18 trillion bad. Like, well, luckily, someone dropped out at 32.5, and you've got it. Congratulations. Like, still got it.
She probably was like, had the phone up on the phone with someone who just like, it's probably Georgette Mosbacher had the phone up to like Antiques Roadshow, and she's pretending to bid along.
Now I will continue this bidding for you, Miss Patricia, as long as there are no curse words or bad manners.
Well, fucking place the bid then. Oh, sorry.
I'll be in my room, ma'am.
Bad. So we finally see what this $32,000 prize is. And it's like an elephant clock. It's, you know, it's a cool golden brassy elephant clock.
Oh my god!
But I don't know, like 32,000. I mean, this needed to be like 3,000 years old. I mean, listen, I'm no appraiser, but I am very stingy. And if I'm buying that thing, I'm paying like $100 tops.
I would still make fun of you if you paid $100. Like, you paid $100 for that. It's worth 40. So 40 grand. So she goes, well, this is quite the piece de. And Whitney goes, the piece de resistance? Yeah. It's the Maharaja on an elephant.
There's a big controversy because they have to do some light assembly, as in put this little fan piece in. And there's questions on where does the fan go? They're looking for the holes. So first Patricia tries. I don't know how to put this fan. I don't know manual labor. Whitney, you got the reading glasses. And he's like, okay, mother.
So Michael's he's like behind them, like raising his hand. I know. That's how you do it. I know. Get out of my way, Michael. I know how to do it. Mother, look at me. I know how to do it. In this butthole there, Whitney.
And I like that Whitney's trying to like put the little fan on something, and Michael's like, Michael literally goes, the Maharaja would never fan the driver. Don't you know what it means to be a servant? Could you imagine Patricia fanning me?
And then he puts it on the front. They were trying to put it on the back, so he puts it on the front. And then she goes, well, we must give it to Mike. It goes on the front. And then Michael goes, that's why we have people like me, ma'am.
Jeez. To assemble the sculptures and then me made into sculptures to be bought for $32,000.
I'm extremely hot after doing all that. I shall fan myself in my room if you need me.
I'll use the robot fan, also known as the air conditioner. Oh, good.
Don't look me in the eye, Michael.
So now it's like, bop, 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 bop. Landon and Thomas, home date. Thomas is doing really important things to prepare, like nothing really. Like, he's like, well, this table is still here in the living room. Oh, the door. And she's like, I just wrote, she's wearing a cream pashmina over white. Ugh, she's the worst. Like, I even hate her pashminas now. Okay.
I really,
I just don't hate people, hate her as much as everyone else does. I really don't. I don't know what it is. I wish I hated her as much because it's so fun to really hate someone.
This is the first season I've full on had Landon hate. I've never had it until this season. I've had a little like, but not like now. I'm like that Pajmina. Like I'm mad. I'm even thinking about it. Mad. Yeah, everything she does, I'm mad.
Well, listen, Landon, I know everyone hates you, but you have like a little bit of support from me. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So he's got a table on the floor and she's like,
you got a project?
And he says, I'm putting a table together.
She goes, want help? I'm well versed in such matters.
Have you noticed that whenever she comes over to Thomas's house, she starts talking really fancy? And it continues through the whole thing.
Maybe it's just she's been writing some copy for Rome and it's just, you know, it's hard to get it out of her brain.
I'm well versed in such orbits.
And Thomas is always trying to sound younger around her. It's so funny. She's like trying to sound fancy and he's trying to sound 20. He's like, coo, coo. Coo, 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 coo.
Wow. I'm glad you can be here for a little bit. We can have a chat before your Audi 5000, if you know what I'm saying, right?
She says,
Thomas is a roller coaster, but I'm still very old-fashioned when it comes to dating. We have to take it so very, very slowly.
It's like, okay, why are you talking like that?
Yeah, she's like...
Thomas is basically a roller coaster, and I'm more like the scrambler.
So stupid, Landon. Okay, you're so old-fashioned when it comes to dating. You brought some surfer boy back from California to fuck. You're not old-fashioned when it comes to dating, okay?
You are a regular Avril Lavigne. Oh, I guess that's a skater boy. Never mind.
So, you're
a skater boy.
Like, now that this table has been put together, let's talk about that flower I picked for you outside the library. She's like,
well, I told Cameron that you can't win with crazy, but, you know, I don't want to punish myself by not going to Key West because Catherine doesn't know how to behave like a lady.
I feel threatened by her.
And he's like, oh, you shouldn't be. You're old. You shouldn't be threatened by her. You're an old lady with old lady values. Little crinkles around your eyes and a vagina that's about to quit. There's nothing in common that you've got with her. I mean, just the sheer sex appeal of that woman. You don't worry. You're nothing like her.
Don't worry. You've got a vagina like a pumpkin on November 12th. You know what I'm saying? Sort of all decrepit and rotten, but still sort of charming in its own weird way.
Why, Catherine thinks you're so wonderful with her working ovaries while you're sitting over here with roasted chestnuts in your womb.
Nothing arouses a man like walking your sad old dog around the reservoir 5 times and watching him die. It's a her, though, right? Charlotta?
Charlotte!
I mean, surely you don't even have the energy to be as offensive as such a hot young slut like Catherine.
She's like, but he does say to her, as you mentioned, you know, you're older than her. She's a child compared to you. I'm like, well, you slept with her, so what does that say about you?
Well, he slept.
Do you have to register with any sites then? Is that what? If she's the child.
It's Thomas. And she's like,
well, I just don't want to stoop down to her level.
I'm like, you are. You're dating Thomas. Okay? Yeah. You're lower than her level because at least she got something out of it, you know? Yeah. Like, you got a free...
You haven't even gotten a confirmed dog walking session with Charlotte yet.
You haven't even gotten your own trip to a plantation, okay? Even that was hers.
Yeah, you haven't even had a proper invitation to a Limehouse tournament.
She goes,
well, I have to go because I got a cute beach wardrobe.
And he goes, well, now you gotta go. And then he does his like cross-eyed possum laugh. That guy is so creepy. I cannot imagine who's fighting over this guy.
I don't get it. So then you have, we go over to Austin and Chelsea, and they're driving over to Austin's parents' house, and, you know, they're just chatting and chatting about Shep and everything. And Austin's mad. He's like, I can't believe that he grabbed you by the arm and pulled you in the back room. And she's like, no.
Now that's been blown way out of proportion.
It's more like he took hold of my arm and pulled me towards him in kind of a hurry, but sort of soft and gentle. It was like he basically sent a paperless post to my arm and was like, would you please join me in the back here? It was actually very gentlemanly, like.
Then he started the party before I RSVP'd. That's all I'm saying. I just wish I could have RSVP'd. And he's like, wait a second. I'm saying literally what he said to you. Whoa.
Words out of his mouth, out of your mouth, out of every single person's mouth. So many words out of so many mouths all at once, literally.
And he says, look, you've obviously talked to Shep today. And correct. You talked to Shep today. And so now I'm the bad guy or whatever. And she's like, well, I just ran into him. And then they show her answering the door at her house with peanut butter. Her sexy peanut butter eating. Like, what is this
show? Peanut butter out of your mouth. Peanut butter out of your mouth, Chelsea.
I just ran into him when he came inside my house.
So now it's like awkward because now he's angry because now he got into a whole fight with like his bro. And not only that, like he was like the sidekick to Shep and he like fought at his master, you know? And so that's like a big no-no when you're the sidekick. And he like went out on a limb. So now he's like, fuck, I did all this. And now she's taking it back. It's not cool, man. Yep. So it's all awkward and like bad timing because he's about to introduce Chelsea to the parents. So they walk in and they're his mom and dad. And by the way, I have to say, I love Aunt Barbara. She reminded me of like a refreshed Susie Kurtz. Like if Susie Kurtz went to the spa and then showed up in like a nice new sweater, that's who Aunt Barbara is.
Nice new sweater.
You know, she's like got my hair done a little bit. She's relaxed. Feels good about herself.
Aunt Barbara's like, I'm so happy for you. You found a nice girl. You're on a TV show. I'm here for the quiche. Okay. I'm going to just sit here and not say anything. Carry on.
That's the name of her autobiography. Here for the quiche. By Aunt Barbara.
So he's like, this is so awkward. I'm like, it's so not awkward. The parents, Chelsea's literally, like, okay. Wow, what a beautiful home. This is so beautiful. And they're like, honey, that's great. Hey, tell me stories about Austin. On a Palm Sunday. This is good. Okay, on a Palm Sunday, that's where you go to church. You all have palms because Jesus came back to life, and everyone's like, hey, Jesus. Well, we turn around. We said, where is Austin? He was under the pews tickling people with a pole. I mean, tickling people. His mom's like, I'm telling you, that was quite a handful, that kid.
Yeah, they're like, he was a perfect tan. Oh, they're looking at him now selling beer and flip-flops. But, you know, even a clock's right twice a day.
Now, why did you highlight his hair that way? Do you think that's going to make it easier for him to get a job?
You know, I am a little distressed to hear that he has not been punching out his Fantastic Sam's punch card. That was going to get him a free haircut, you know, and now we have to pay for your salon.
She goes, well, what was the worst thing he did as a kid? And he said, did I tell you about the palms? She's like, yeah, he told me that one. All right, this other one time, he got his sister Kyle so mad, she tore a clump of hair off his head.
He's like, Mom.
She goes, what did you do? I'm like, way to victim shame. Jesus.
Hair out of my head. Hair out of my head, bro.
And Austin's and so like, guys, I don't want to eat too much dinner. I'm bottoming tonight. And they're like, oh, congratulations, son. I think he's ready for a relationship.
He goes, he's like, yeah, I don't want to eat too much because we're going to Key West. And the music just gets tense for no reason. The music is like, dun, 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 dun.
And like, Aunt Barbara's like, Key Lime? Is that Key Lime? No, Barbara, eat your quiche.
Barbara, just be happy you got a slice of quiche. It's not even what we're all eating, okay? We made a simple dish. It's honestly the easiest thing to make. We make simple things for Chelsea because she looks like a simple girl.
God forbid Barbara eat some chicken.
It's all day with Barbara. Quiche, quiche, quiche. Gosh.
Hey, you want to talk about the worst thing Barbara did as a kid?
She named her own daughter Lorraine, so that way she could always have Quiche Lorraine.
I'm like, Barbara, get over it.
Drop it, Barbara.
Drop it with the cage, Barbara. Does this mean I can't have seconds? No, Barbara ate the whole quiche. There is no seconds. I ate a whole dish of quiche.
Now, did not I tell slice. You about the poems? All right, so the next scene, Key West. I love that this show, they just show them go to the airport, but that we don't have to do the cams curbside on the plane, bullshit. Which I like.
Oh,
but
yeah.
This one, this music cue was xylophone drama. It's like, ding, 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 ding. Guys, no matter what rhythm you do, it's a xylophone. Nobody is scared. Okay.
No one, and by the way, I'd like to add, no one has ever looked sadder at an airport than Catherine Dennis. The way she showed up with her little rollers, just looking down, she does that thing when her eyebrows go up, her eyes go down, and her face does this little frown and her chin's down, like, airports. Like, why are you so sad, Catherine? You're part of the group again.
Hi, it's me. I'm at the airport.
I also liked when Shep shows up and he's like going to like check in or something, and he's going through like the, you know, like the people maze where they've got all like the ribbons, you know, you have to walk through, and it's like totally empty, and he's like walking down and he just goes, "You're kidding me, gosh!" And he like undoes it and goes through. Problem solver.
They just have to highlight his privilege. I'm not walking through that. Gosh,
Shep, you grabbed the ribbon with your hands. Words out of the flight attendant's mouth.
Also, the privilege of that entire airport to be that empty. I've never seen LAX like that, where you don't have to wait through the maze.
Oh, how amazing to to be in like a non-essential airport.
Yeah.
A non-hub.
A non-essential airport. We're just flying for fun. I mean, we could walk.
we can walk to Key West, really.
So they get into Key West, and Cameron's like, "Whoa, look at those huts. Hi, Mexican person. Yoruba, Yoruba." It's like, oh, please be quiet.
Craig's like, "Where do I get the keys?" No, it's an island called Key West. It's not. We're not going to a locksmith.
If you mess with me today and disrespect me, I'm going to Key East. That's it.
So Thomas,
I'm gonna go to Keys on Van Nuys if you don't stop this.
They're holding a tray of mimosas, which are pretty identifiable on site.
Yes,
champagne glasses with orange juice in them are generally mimosas.
Yeah, that's usually a good sign.
Thomas is like, "What is it?" No, not for me. I'm trying to quit.
And Landon took one and literally did her thank you thing.
I mean,
far be it from me to do it when we have it right here.
Thank you.
And then Whitney's like, "Is there a beachfront, mother?"
Do you possibly have an organ you can play when I walk into a room? It really set the tone. Mother.
Cameron says, "Whitney is one of the most entitled people I know." And then they show Whitney at the counter, the check-in counter. He's like, "You have a bigger bed? You have a? Is there a sink in there? There's a bathroom, right? Does the window open?" She's like, "Entitled."
I'm not entitled. I mean, I did just assist with putting a little fan on a Maharaja statue with an elephant.
Before some fat old ghost came in and fixed it for me.
So there's some tension between Austin and Chelsea because they're not even in the same room. Dun, dun, dun. And then, which is really leads to nothing. And then it's beach time. So now all the girls, the first, because there's two groups of people coming in. It's like the Amazing Race, you know, flat one, flat two. So flight one people, which is essentially Landon, Snowden, Chelsea, and Cameron, they go out to the beach. They're just like sunning, and meanwhile T-Rav is on the Adirondack chair as well, the other bros, and he's talking about like, "We were doing some of those mannequin poses, you know, where you do this, you do the dab like Cam Newton, you know, very young, hip, like me."
Whitney's like, no, he doesn't know what the mannequin challenge is. It's Whitney's entire life, okay? He's like 90 years old.
He's like, "Is the mannequin challenge where you try to put a little fan on a mannequin?" Try to make like, Manica look like he's fanning a Maharaja.
So it's basically what I'm doing right now.
Where's my fanning person?
So we get onto the beach and
the girls are talking
the
about
girls it. Are yeah the girls are Chelsea Snowden and Landon are over there, and Chelsea's like, well, just wanted to make sure Snowden y'all rock with Catherine. She's like,
well, you know, I think the thing with Catherine is she just needs to have issues with somebody, so I don't take it personally because it's not about me.
And Landon's like, bingo.
Like, I did anything to her. I didn't do anything.
I'm like, uh-oh.
What's his name? Oh,
damn, Camden found the key in Key West and shoved it up her nose. That key had a bump on it, girl. Landon acting crazy.
Yeah,
I'm
Landon
like, who
was
are
acting
you?
Crazy. From this point forward, Landon was acting crazy, for sure.
Yes. Landon made good friends with a bellhop.
So then Cameron was saying how she had this conversation with Catherine, and the reason why Catherine was upset was because of this Valentine's trip, and Landon's like,
it was a business dinner. And, yeah. You know, I had my own wing.
I had my own wing.
The Atlantic. Oh, Jesus.
Cameron says, yeah, but she said it was just you two, not business.
Yeah, because she's a liar. Maybe she's lying.
And Chelsea's like, well, you know, no offense, but if I had a child, if I just had a baby, and one of my friends went on Valentine, and she goes, we're not friends, and we were never were, and there's no girl code, and that's the lamest thing I've ever heard, so grow up.
Sorry, I just added that in for extra emphasis, because
she's just happy because her life sucks, okay? She told everyone I'm a whore, and you're taking her side.
And so Cameron's like, I don't know, when I see Catherine, I just see, I feel like I'm looking at, like, a wounded bird, and, you know, Lisa Vanderpump appears in a puff of smoke. It's like, broken bird! Is there a broken bird nearby?
Come to me, I've brought splints and scotch tape, darling.
Catherine Dennis, you shall be my new hostess. Follow me under my carpet.
I bought you a new hanky-panky collar, darling.
You shall be the one to open up Sir Key West, as I call it, Sir West. But isn't Sir more West than Key West? Tum Tum. It'll be called Tum Tum. Kiki.
Gigi. Lolo. Lala. Jojo.
Kiki would actually be an amazing name for a gay bar in Key West. Spelled Kiki, like K-E-Y. Get it?
Oh, Kiki.
Kiki. Is that what you do when you go pee? Kiki?
Pee-pee, Kiki.
That was a big business deep cut right there. What's wrong? You gotta go Kiki?
So the girls keep on, and Chelsea's and Snowden, like trying to just stay calm, and Snowden is just of course sitting there like, because she's of course with Landon. And she's like, oh, she's a wounded bird, huh? Okay, good luck with that, honey. And Landon's like, you guys are like being so sweet right now, but Catherine is not hit rock bottom, and she's not even committed to getting her children back.
Which
so.
Those are some fighting words there, actually. That's like, I can't support Landon on that at all. That's I wouldn't even go there if I were her. And that's why I definitely think she was in an altered state, because I think she normally is controlled enough to not say that stuff on camera. And she's going to be questioned about that on the reunion, and it's going to get ugly. Yeah. But Snowden, though, I mean, Snowden's sort of on her side, though, because Snowden said, like, I don't think that Catherine has changed at all. And I think that, you know, it's only a matter of time before that curtain falls and she's up on that stage acting crazy, you know?
Oh my God, and then it literally did this episode. So, like, she was literally on a stage acting crazy.
Yeah.
You want to hear my next notes? Or Hiwa Isigwa Exifalakataka Forikatak. Because my hands weren't centered on the keyboard. I don't know what this is supposed to be. So, you do.
Maybe
it.
I can interpret it. Maybe it was. So, the whole gang shows up because everyone's arrived. And they're all like, yay, Cameron's birthday, whatever. And she's like, my eggs are dying. Oh, one just died. And I think Shep goes, let's cook it. So then Landon is just like fully drunk at this point, at the very least. And she's like in a hammock and she's not in the hammock yet, but she's just like, beach towns are like the only thing I'm good at. And they cut to Catherine going up the stairs, looking back with this face that's like, get this fucking bitch off this island right now before I torch this entire hotel.
Catherine's face, her facial expressions this episode were priceless. I mean, through the whole thing, they were so good. So good. Chelsea and what's her buns are like, all right, well, let's go upstairs and get ready. And Landon grabs Austin and goes, stay with me. And pulls him onto the, what do you call those things?
Hammock.
The hammock. And so they're on the hammock, and then Chelsea and Cameron are watching upstairs, and she's like, stay with me. Are they smooching?
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is that they're just talking. I mean, Landon's being drunk, flirty, and Austin, at one point, Austin sort of puts his arm around her, you know, and that's when Chelsea starts to feel things. But by the way, kind of a smart move by Austin, even though it probably wasn't intentional, because, you know, he's been chasing Chelsea.
He was just trying to get himself up in the... Because he took
I don't think it was anything. I think it was totally nothing. But like, I'm being smart move, because now all of a sudden Chelsea's like, you know, once you realize that like the thing that you just assumed was always chasing you might not be chasing you, it's a great way to get to turn the tables on someone. I'll say that's how the power shifts in a relationship.
Yes, and
you know, when you're flirting with someone.
And also, Landon is obviously doing this because Chelsea wasn't on her side. And this just goes to show you Landon's girl code. And when she says there is no girl code, she's fucking right. Like, she's terrible. She's right. She's immediately purposely flirting in front of her.
Stay with me. And then she goes, Austin, look at me. Am I getting wrinkles? Because I'm getting older. Like, are these wrinkles?
And he goes, you know what, Landon? What do you want me to say?
He's like, listen, if I give you a saxophone, you'd sort of look like a California Raisin, so that's cool.
I mean, they do have a band. I mean, that's a job, which is more than you've got, so.
She's like, my codependency right now is so high, all-time high.
And Chelsea says, should I be worried? And Cameron says, well, I mean, she knows y'all are hanging out. Chelsea says, yeah, but I don't think she cares about girlfriends.
Yeah. See, this is probably why Chelsea didn't make it to full-time cast member, because a full-time cast member would have started some shit right there.
She'll be full-time next year, I think.
Probably. I think so. I think that she's a little too even. She's too easygoing. She doesn't hold grudges. She's like nice. She smiles.
Well, everyone's easygoing when it's not about
them.
Yeah,
but she doesn't. But she's had a few opportunities to be in the mix of some real drama, and she hasn't taken those opportunities. You know, pretty much a lot of the heavy lifting has fallen to Catherine. Really, everyone else just kind of breezes along on this show, and they just sort of wait for Catherine to be crazy. So, you know, I think Chelsea should step it up if she wants to be a bigger part.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see what else is going on.
So Shep goes and brings a brewski to Austin. He's like, bro, gosh, can I talk to you for a second? And they basically hash things out, and Austin's like, bro, what bothered me was not what happened. What made me so sad is the way that night ended, bro. Like, you said words out of your mouth that you didn't need my friendship. Like, I look to you as like almost like a brother. I don't have a brother. I look to you as a brother. And Shep's like, well, Garsh, I consider you a very good friend. I was like, okay, like,
I know that was so so shady. I loved it.
But they ultimately apologized.
He was like, yeah, but drunk Garsh lore, you know? And he's like, yeah, bro. He's like, then look, I can give you a shirt. It's got a Marlin on the back, right? You can have the white one. I'll have the black one because I'm mean and you're nice.
Truly, like, one of the most awkward moments on this show is having Shep, when they're choosing between the black shirt and the white Shep, and Shep's shirt, and Shep takes the black one and goes, Garsh, I'm black and evil. And Austin goes, and I'm white and pure. I was like, listen, not on any other show, fine, but not on this show. Not on this show. You just can't say those things on this show.
Yeah, on this show, you need to even change the colors of the chessboard. On this show, you better whip out some yellow and green. There's I don't even want to hear it from you people.
There's just too much subtext on this show. I just you can't say black is black is evil and white is pure. You just can't do that on Southern Charm.
Yeah, not the right place. And also, but it is the right place to hawk really terrible straight guy clothes, which is what Shep's doing because he's got Shep gear.
And obviously we know it wasn't a racist moment, but like you just can't help but think of the subtext on this show when they're talking about plantations and the South. And it's like the whitest show in the history of television.
That's pretty accurate.
So anyway, it's time for dinner. And now the girls are come out. Chelsea is wearing some dress that reminded me of like Brigitte Nielsen in Beverly Hills Cop 2. In fact, I went and looked at photos of Brigitte Nielsen from that movie, and I found something that looked very similar.
That's to Chelsea? What Chelsea's wearing. Yeah, Chelsea, yeah. And she looked hot in it, but I was like,
I didn't love it.
Yeah, wrong choice for this. But she looked beautiful.
Structural cutout, weird things. I don't know.
But I liked it when they were getting ready and Danny asked Catherine, she's like, Catherine, how do you feel? And she goes,
it's about Cameron's birth.
Oh, sorry, that was Carol. She's like,
it's about Cameron's birthday, not about me. So maybe we'll be dolphin watching at dinner.
And Thomas, he's getting ready and he's like, you know, we've seen him getting ready in the mirror many times, but this is the creepiest one of all time, because after he finished judging his hair, he just stared blank faced at his reflection. Ugh. As if this were, it was like such a serial killer moment.
He's so gross. Yeah. So they go to dinner and Landon. Yeah,
I just want to say before they even get to dinner that Elizabeth and JD show up and Craig's like, hey, like, want to rent a speedboat and run some blow from Cuba? And everyone's like, he's like, oh, that's the way we're all dressed. I'm like, Craig, we're on camera. Well, I've already commissioned it. Let's ixnay on the Uber Bay. Uber. Okay. I can't speak pig Latin today. Wah!
You got gentry coke.
So then on top of that, first of all, I also want to point out these women were all like dressed beautifully, dressed the nines. They did their hair and everything. The guys are like slobs.
Always.
Just full on. I know it's always, but it really was apparent this time. So Naomi, she asks Craig to hold her phone in his pocket because she doesn't have any pockets. And he's like, do you see my pockets and how full they are? And she's like, well, maybe pull that dip out and put my phone in there instead.
It's just like, damn it, if you disrespect me one more time, why do you always have to call me out?
I just think it's like, that's how you browbeat a man. That's, if you're gonna do it, that's how you do it. You just have to be funny.
Yeah, and stop wearing skinny jeans. Like, get some cargo pants like a normal boyfriend, okay? So you can carry all my shit.
Yeah,
I want a boyfriend who I'm like, hey, do you have the screw gun, the drill? And he's like, yeah, I've got it right here in my bottom cargo pant pocket, hon. Do you need some orbits?
So now drunk Landon, as you were about to talk about.
So she's the last one there. And she's like,
there's no seat. I guess I'm going to go back to the hotel.
I didn't realize you were at the restaurant. I have to say one more thing. Sorry. We also met Danny's fiance, Todd.
Now, oh, I'm sure that's total love, Ben.
I was like, is he funny?
I'm sure that's all about love, Ben. I'm sure it has nothing to do with whatever financial bullshit he's putting into her liquor, whatever.
He is the Anvil of Southern Charm. I'm sorry.
He looks like this character in American Gods. I just started watching it. It's the weirdest show. And don't worry, it's not a spoiler. It happens in the first thing and you don't even know what's happening. But there's this woman, she's having sex with this guy she just met, this kind of loser guy, and it looks like him. And she's like, worship me! And he starts saying all this stuff in sex, and then she eats him with her vagina. It's like the craziest thing. And I was like, look, it's Danny's it's Danny's new fiance. Good luck with that. Danny's gonna eat him with her vagina so that she can look younger or have more money or whatever.
Vagina dentata. The myth is real. I just had to comment because I was not expecting that pairing at all. Especially since your ex is Shep.
Yeah, I don't believe that you should obviously just marry for looks. but I'm just going to make a guess that he's very wealthy. Okay.
Yeah, I might venture that guess too.
And if I'm wrong, I would love to make a nice platter of crow and I will eat it on this show because
yes.
Hot models don't date poor, ugly people, okay? Except for Sheena. She's like the only one, I think, in the history of TV.
And even she learned her lesson. She's like,
oh, wait, I want a hot guy. Eh.
Never mind.
So anyway, finally, what you were trying to say about Landon.
Go back to the hotel. Y'all have a good time without me since there's no seat.
And they're like, yes, there is. That was so embarrassing. They're like, there is a weird seat. And then she had to sit next to the weird new husband guy.
Yeah, she's like, I'm all the way at the end.
I guess I'm sitting next to another taken rich guy who's not going to be any good to me. Yay, me.
Reverse dolphin laugh.
Catherine's like, told you. So Cameron says, well, she's pissed a lot of people off at this table, okay? She can't sit next to Thomas. She can't sit over by Catherine. And then you see Catherine just giving a dirty look to somebody. I don't even know who it was, but I just love Catherine's face.
And then there's this really wonderfully awkward moment when Catherine's like, well, I'm going to have a drink since I'm on vacation. And it's like, is that the way rehab works?
Yeah, that's not how AA works.
And everyone's just like, And then it's so funny.
Who needs a chip when I can order a whole bowl of chips and some queso, please?
Now, this other thing that cracked me up, and I watched this episode this morning. I didn't watch it last night. And we got a lot of tweets about JD and Gentry Bourbon. They're like, JD, not everyone knows what Gentry Bourbon is. I was like, why is everyone tweeting this? And then there's this moment where JD says to this waitress, you have Gentry Bourbon. She's like, no.
No.
JD,
like, all right, then I'll have.
Has not gone very far beyond your restaurant.
I know, but he's still getting it on TV. You got to hand it to that guy. He will get that out there.
He's trying to normalize.
He's like, I've got to sit next to Catherine. I will say Gentry Bourbon 20 times. Hey, y'all want to take a cruise later? Now, y'all have a cruise with Gentry Bourbon on it. Is that ocean filled with Gentry Bourbon? Wah!
She's like, oh, you mean well bourbon? The Gentry Bourbon. Yeah, the bourbon, the well bourbon that we serve at happy hour at 3 p.m, right?
I mean, you do well to serve some Gentry Bourbon.
So, Craig's like, I would like to have some Sauvignon Blanc, but can I get in a pint glass, like a beer glass, like a double? Can I just have the Sauvignon Blanc in that? And you could just see Naomi, she's like, he has dip in his pocket, and he's drinking a beer glass of Sauvignon Blanc. What have I got myself into?
This is going to be a fun night. Yeah. So they do cheers, and Cameron's like, whoa, here's cheers to ovulation. And Thomas is like, just tell him to shoot it in there 3 times. I think Catherine's face. She's like,
I was like, oh, God. It's like the 7th inning stretch, because it's once, twice, 3 splooges you're in at the old ovulation game. Am I right there? Trump pants, everyone.
So they go into this weird situation where everybody is gonna want Catherine and Landon to make up.
Well, this is after asks Catherine and Thomas if they're ever gonna hook up again, which is really, really so nice. And then on top of that, then Catherine, who's having a great time, she's like, I love that everyone is just happy. And they cut to Snowden giving her this, like, fuck you smile. Like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. I've worked hard to get back with this group, and now you come back here on Room Mikey West Vacation.
And Landon goes,
I'm going to go blow my nose.
that was kind of a...
So Whitney goes, well, I've been doing a lot of transcendental meditation lately. And things should be peace and love, okay? He's got lipstick all over his face or something in this confessional. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's what from last week too. It looks like he got stung by a bee or some terrible shaving accident. Yeah,
facial.
But he
rash.
Is all irritated. He also, by the way, he and Catherine apologize. We should also mention she's like, I apologize. Like, I apologize too. Great. So yeah. So now Whitney is like, okay, I want Landon and Catherine to get together. So here's what's interesting. Whitney goes off to get Landon, and she's like, you know, and then like it's sort of like a, we don't really hear what he says, because you would think there'd be a whole scene of like, I want you to come here or whatever. I want you to apologize. He probably was like, listen, I'm the executive producer of the show. I know the way this is going. Everyone hates you. You need to apologize. Otherwise, you'll be like the most hated person on the show. Like, this is for your story right now. Because all of a sudden,
also share your Coke with me. Thanks.
And share some Coke. And then he comes back with her, and he like sits her down in that seat. And then all of a sudden it was like, you would think there'd be like some awkwardness of like, what are we doing here? But she was sort of like ready to dive into it, you know?
Yeah, she came back totally different. Catherine's like, well, you know, I just don't want there to be any like tension or like negativity. And she's like, well, I don't even think there's a problem, because like the past is the past, and so like,
let's just move on. Yeah.
And Danny's like, well, you know what I think, what I'm seeing here, what I think you just want to be cordial. She's like, yeah, I just want negative energy. Yeah, cordial. Well, you know what I see? I think that you guys just want to let it go. Amen, amen. Yeah, well, we just want to let it go. So Craig goes, what the fuck? Like, if they're going to talk, like, you got to do it right, okay? Yo, 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 yo. The only way to solve this is to say what itches you about each other, okay?
Yeah, and by the way, and this is what we all heard. That was the sound of Naomi putting her fingers against her temples. Like, oh my fucking God. My idiot boyfriend. He's high on dip and Sauvignon Blanc.
And Landon's like, but there's nothing that's itchy. Like,
there's nothing I don't like about her. Except, you know, that she's a whore and crazy.
Catherine says something, nose? Why did she say nose? Oh, maybe I was just saying, like, her nose is itchy or whatever. And Thomas is like, well, everyone needs a mediator. And Craig's like, what is it? And Catherine says, look, I have a child, and you're talking shit about me all over town. And Danny and Craig are now fighting behind the two girls who are fighting.
Because Craig had interrupted her moment. She's like, I haven't been on the show all season. This is my moment. This is my hero moment. I'm going to bring them together. And Craig's like, all right, this is what I learned in therapy, all right? Do we have flashcards? No? Okay.
Dry erase board, maybe?
Do you guys have pillowcases? Maybe we can, like, no? Okay, well, what made you mad? So then Danny's like, Craig, you're not a woman. Get out of it. And he's like, ugh. And then even Landon's like, yeah, it's not really your thing. And Naomi's like, oh, my God, he's so annoying.
But
and then,
he did at least get them talking about real shit, because Catherine's like, look, I have children. You're out there shit-talking about me. And Landon's like, well, in my mind, it was a family friend's house. It was no big deal. And then Catherine's like, well, it was a big deal. We have two children, and then you're going off with my husband when we're in a fight. And then Landon goes, yeah, well, I'm sorry, like, for my ignorance, because, like, I'm not a mom. So, like, you and Thomas have your own relationship.
Meanwhile, while this is all happening, Craig and Danny are, like, fighting behind them, making, like, they're, like, sort of interrupting them. And Danny's like, and everyone's like, Craig, stop. And Danny's like, Craig, you're about to lose a lot of fucking friends. I can tell you that right now. It's like, wow, Craig, like, you made Danny mad, and she's never been mad in 4 years.
Yeah, because only women can talk about emotional stuff.
And then Landon turns to Craig and goes, yeah, you're ruining everything. And so then Naomi's like, God, Craig, you're really making me feel awkward. And he goes, if you continue to do this, then we should separate tonight. Here's your phone. Craig, that's your dip. I didn't get to put my phone in your pocket. I'm still holding it. Fine. Hold that over me, too.
If you continue to disrespect me, I'm changing your ringer to a standard tone instead of that's my lady. Okay. Saying it now.
So basically, Landon has just decided to apologize for everything. And she's like, look, I don't have kids. I didn't understand what I was doing. I didn't mean it that way. And Catherine's like, well, thank you. That's really nice. And so they're suddenly made up. And then Catherine goes, well, this is very fake.
Okay. But the key part is this, though, is that Landon is like, I feel like Thomas sometimes uses me as a weapon against you, and I don't think that's right. Which is actually true. It's, like, very true. And Thomas is like, what? He has this look on his face, like, you know, he was totally blindsided. He's basically outed. You know, Landon basically had his number at that moment. And so Thomas is like, lack of integrity, a lack of consistency. That's what Landon is. I'm like, please, Thomas, don't talk about integrity and consistency.
Okay? Yeah, please.
Do you want us to dive into your record, the recent and farther behind record, you know?
And Catherine's like, well, that's fake because she's tried to trump me. Fuck Thomas. Fuck Shep, too. Cam even sees it now.
It's like, yeah, girl.
She's kind of right, too.
So then Lannon has basically kind of gotten herself out of this, at least with the table, you know, because she's finally apologized for something ever. And so they're leaving, and Landon takes Thomas aside, and she's like, I'm not picking sides. I'm just saying it's like a big source of negative energy. And he's picking his teeth while she talks.
Yeah, he's like, uh-huh.
And we live in a small town, and we need a separate relationship apart from you. Like, we don't have a problem. It's everyone else.
Really?
Well, I mean, I do think that Thomas pitted the women against each other. I do think that. And she's realizing it now, but she shouldn't be explaining it to Thomas at, like, with the hopes that now everything's fine. She shouldn't have to explain anything to Thomas. She should be like, you know what? I never really wanted to be with this guy. Everyone's trying to push me into him. Fuck this guy. I'm now the villain of the show because of him. He's pitted me against Catherine, and now I look like the asshole, and everyone in the world hates me.
Well, Thomas is talking, like, in his politician hands. He's like,
yeah.
Well, I think this story was self-serving to advance an agenda. And Landon goes,
okay, well, don't get too shit-faced tonight, okay?
And stumbles off.
Yeah, meanwhile, Craig has a hissy fit at the restaurant as they're leaving. I forget what it was. He's like, we're going to break up tonight if you keep doing this. And Chelsea's like, Naomi, how do you deal with that? It's ridiculous. And
Cam's like, my husband calls me out all the time.
Cameron's hair was so frizzy. I was like, damn, it must have been really humid because it's got to be already pretty humid in Charleston. And she keeps it under control there. So for it to be as frizzed out there, man, humidity. Am I right, everyone?
Guys, frizzies, guys. So basically the rest of this is breakfast the next day where they're all fucking hungover. And they show clips of the night before where they all went to some drag club.
Mm-hmm.
And Shep is so wasted. Thomas is like, you let one of them drag things lick your tummy. And so they showed us that. And he's like, gosh, I was drunk. It was a lure.
Yeah. And then so Landon comes up and she has a migraine. And Thomas tells us that like her flip-flop. And, you know, that's a red flag right there. I'm like, that's the red flag. What about all of your – I mean, you have so many red flags. I mean, you look like you're actually a parade in China. Okay. Like, don't talk about Landon's red flags.
You
I'm
look
sorry.
Like the entire cast of Handmaid's Tale right now. Okay. So Catherine they showed
over.
The clip of Catherine dancing around on the stage. And she announces when she's done, she's doing like this pole dance or whatever on the drag stage. And she's like,
that's how I got pregnant.
So every Snowden and Naomi and all the awkward people are leaving because they're pissed.
Yeah.
And Thomas is like, well, my daughter's going to Nutcracker tonight. And I'm like, oh, he's going to go take her kid to Nutcracker. And Catherine goes, so he's taking her. And he's like, well, that 19-year-old hot piece of ass nanny. I mean, she's like, wait a minute. She's not allowed to be around my kids. That's in the paperwork. Watch it, bucko.
Yeah, and she storms off mad. And by the way, this kind of probably also revealed that Thomas was banging some other 20-year-old this entire time, and this whole thing with Landon was fake. But,
well, that's the rumor, that he's been fucking the nanny. Okay, so you know how they're showing the nanny? They said that that's not even his nanny anymore. She quit, and her daughter became the nanny, and he's been fucking the daughter. That's the rumors that have been swirling all season.
So now Catherine is annoyed, to say the least, and she storms off, and he's like, I thought you said you'd change. She's like, oh, I have. So then he's like bitching about it, and he's like, well, this 20-year-old girl is far more mature than that. She's 25, and this one's more mature. And then Landon is like, oh, God, shut up, Thomas. Honestly, just give it a break. Just stop throwing stones. Just sit back and take it for once.
Yeah, you're being a dick.
And he's like, well, she comes off as someone I don't need to waste any more time on her.
Yeah, I'm glad that you
the
had that choice.
The veracity of this, that I'm supposed to sit here and take it. Like, okay, yeah. Thomas.
Yeah, whatever, Thomas. Whatever.
Next week, Thomas, I want to be with a woman who feels privileged to be with me. Has every guy on this show said that? I mean, this is his second time. That's a Craig thing to say. Like, yeah. Guys, none of you are at that point, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was it for Southern Charm, and we'll be back later this week for Southern Charm Savannah, which had some pretty funny and kind of crazy moments. And until then, tomorrow we got Below Deck and Mad, and then New York on Thursday. So, you guys, thanks as always for listening to us.
We love you. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.